Welcome to the Inside Scoop Live podcast, where indie authors get personal about their books, their writing, and their passions. I'm your host, Sherry Hoyt. Join me for some lively conversations with debut indie authors and seasoned veterans alike. It's a great place to find your next amazing read or even get inspired. So sit back and enjoy the show and let me know what you think. Hi, everyone. Michael Rizzo joins us today to talk about his debut book, Tales of Astera. It's an enchanting anthology set in a fantastical world of 50 realms, blending magical tales and adventures with unique characters, offering a mix of dark and inspiring stories reminiscent of classic fairy tales. Before we get started, here's the inside scoop on the author. Michael Rizzo is a fantasy fiction writer who works in finance during the day and often spends evenings writing and creating his fantasy world. He published his first book, Tales of Astera, in early 2023 and continues to build upon the established lore of this magical world in his spare time. He is currently working on his second book, Tisau Afalo, which will be the second adventure set in Astera, with many more soon to follow. When Michael is not writing, he enjoys playing guitar in his band and relaxing with his family, friends, and dogs. His inspirations for writing come from a variety of different sources: classic literature, mythology, old world language studies, video games, fantasy literature, music, and other sources. You can learn more about Michael Rizzo and his work at talesofastera.com. Well, hi, Michael. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn more about your work. But first of all, listeners, I have to tell you, congratulations are in order for Michael. His book, Tales of Astera, took home the gold medal in the short story category of the ReaderView's Literary Awards, and it was also the winner of our sponsored prize in the event, the Inside Scoop Live Award for the most innovative short story collection. So congratulations, Michael.
Thank you so much, Sherry. I'm so appreciative to ReaderView's, and it's just a tremendous honor, and I'm very, very thankful. So I love this. So this is great.
Well, I've heard a lot of good things, so let's learn a little bit more about it. Tell us a little bit about the book. What is Tales of Astera about?
Sure. Yeah. So Tales of Astera is a collection of 14 short stories, and it's one poem, and they're all fantasy short stories, but they're different genres of fantasy. Mm-hmm. And all of the stories and the poem have been collected by the fictional narrator of the tales and the tale collector, who's the guide for the reader, Pennyforth Rogers, during his travels. And each tale serves as kind of a magical journey through the mystical world of Astera. And it's meant to kind of function on its own, but it's also intertwined to the other tales and highlights the great continent of Astera and its diverse denizens.
Nice. So a couple of things. What kind of compelled you to write like short story? And then was there like a defining moment that kind of influenced this decision?
Yeah. So it's a funny story because this was not actually my first project. My first project is actually the book that I'm currently working on, which is a novel. And so I was doing short stories. It's about 2019. I was doing short stories because I hit a kind of a wall trying to do traditional publishing with my novel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I heard short stories were a great way to kind of build up a little momentum as a writer and then just kind of hone your craft and get your name out there. So I started doing short stories and I was pitching those to various magazines and outlets. And, you know, I didn't have too much success. Basically, I didn't end up having any of these stories published, but I basically, I guess, fast forward to 2021, 2022, I had compiled all these stories and I said, you know, what'd be great is compiling them all together. Mm-hmm. And kind of having a narrator or tale collector basically, you know, narrating the tales and have those stories serve as an introduction to the world of Astera that I've been creating since 2016 to kind of ease the reader in to all of these fantastical elements, and which would also make subsequent books and novels a little bit easier to kind of digest. And it serves as a nice kind of introduction to just the fantasy genre as a whole.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So that was kind of my goal. And I think the short story served as a nice starting point because it allowed me to cover a variety of different types of aspects of the world. It's funny enough. So as far as the defining moment for me, So I've always kind of wanted to write, but I never really kind of built up the courage to do so. So for the longest time, I was just kind of jotting down ideas, and I've always tried to write, and I never really got it off to the starting line. And then 2016 came around. So what ended up happening, I've always grew up with animals, and I still have, especially at my parents' house, I have dogs. And one of my dogs, Angel, passed away really suddenly in 2016. And it was kind of a rough moment because of just how quickly and abruptly it happened. So what I did to kind of calm my nerves and, as a source of comfort is I watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and it brought me a lot of comfort. And after that moment, this was early 2016, I said, I kind of have all these stories and these ideas, and I always wanted to kind of do something. And I was like, you know what? I think this is the moment where I want to have that comfort, and I want to create something that would be comforting to me and maybe to other people, like Lord of the Rings was to me in that particular period of time. So that's when I started creating the world of Astera, and I just kind of build it up every now and then and add to the compendium and then write stories in the world.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you have a particular world in mind, I guess, when you were creating it?
Yeah, so another great question. So, it's funny. When I was a kid, I was gearing it more towards science fiction than it was fantasy. So when I grew up, I loved Star Wars. I also love playing video games. So I read some of the Halo novels. I played the Halo games with my friends, and I was kind of thinking about doing it more sci-fi. And I did like fantasy, but I was leaning more towards sci-fi. And then when I got a little bit older, I realized I loved a lot of old world things. I collect fountain pens. I love collecting books. When I travel, I love visiting kind of old world sites. So, and I love the classics. So I was like, you know what? I go, the fantasy genre just is appealing to me a lot more. I think I'm going to mold this as a fantasy world. And I was very heavily influenced by a lot of the classic fantasy novels, Chronicles of Narnia, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Once and Future King. A lot of those kind of books really heavily inspired me and gave me inspiration to creating this world or the world of Astera.
I kind of go back and forth between fantasy and sci-fi. I feel like they used to be a lot more interchangeable, but not so much
Yes.
anymore.
I know you're right. They've kind of gone their separate ways, but I agree. They're both genres I really do love. I mean, they're great. But yeah, you're right. It used to be kind of a little bit more intertwined, but now it's a little bit separate paths.
Probably determined by the fans, of both genres.
Yes. I think you're right. Yeah, it's very very true.
So, tell us about your narrator. I love that idea, Penny Forth Rogers. Elaborate on
Yeah.
his journey, I guess. Kind of what drives him, and just tell us a little bit about him.
Sure. So Penny Forth Rogers, I came up with the name Penny Forth, and he was supposed to be a character in one of the short stories. Then I started saying I kind of like him. He was a very ebullient fellow, very charismatic, with very eclectic taste. And his story, I wanted to kind of mold it something interesting to give him a little bit of a background as to why he's traveling around and why he's so apt and retelling these stories. So a little bit of his background is when I started to flesh him out a little bit more and take him from just a character in one of the short stories to the actual narrator. His backstory is basically he grew up in a realm in Astera called Karas in a village called Restitude, and he was a shy boy growing up. And a lot of merchants used to come to his town of Restitude to basically sell their wares. But he wasn't very so much interested in, the goods that they had to sell. But one particular merchant used to also tell all these tales. And from hearing these tales, he used to get a little bit more courage, and he used to feel that he could do anything when he would listen to all these beautiful, tales or heroic deeds and, knights, quests, mages. And it really kind of gave him a little bit more courage to want to go out there and explore the world. And he soon found out that the characters in those stories and those experiences weren't really too far away from him. He just had to, put some courage in his feet and, just step out there on the road. And that kind of gave him a lot of a driving force to want to be able to instill that same kind of love and passion and that confidence to others. And that's where he kind of gets, I guess, the driving force for, collecting these tales and narrating them to his audience.
So he became the storyteller.
Exactly. Yeah, he wanted to grow up to be kind of the same influence that merchant had upon him. He wanted to be that for basically anyone who's willing to listen.
Yeah. Now, our reviewer, well, she said a lot of great things about your book.
Yeah, I loved her review. It was wonderful. It was so great to read.
She likened it to Grimm's fairy tales. It was kind of dark. Have you heard that before? Or?
Yes, actually, so funny enough, so like just based on the first couple minutes of the conversation, people said, oh yeah, you know, it's very like upbeat, you know, the tales and stuff. But I do like to throw ominous stuff in. I do like to throw ominous stuff in there. And actually, some of the more ominous tales are actually some of my favorite ones to write. So it's kind of funny because, you know, here I am talking about Penny Rogers. Oh, you know, he's very, you know, a brilliant fellow. He likes to, you know, be happy and all this. And then, you know, there's all these ominous tales, or some ominous tales in the backdrop.
Yeah.
And I do like the Grimm's fairy tales too. Those are actually very the great because I read quite a few of them and they are wonderful. So I like sometimes instilling a little bit of that darker kind of storytelling in there, that mysterious, ominous kind of tales, because it that nice contrast, I guess it also makes you brings a little bit more appreciation to the hopeful tales, and it kind of gives a nice balance and weight to the diversity of Astera. And so yes, sometimes like Candles of the Ochre Halls, one of the stories in Tales of Astera, was one of my favorite to write.
Ah, I was going to ask you if you had a favorite.
Yeah, so that might be my favorite because that one was just so it was kind of chilling to write. It's kind of like a psych thriller, so it was kind of it was a lot of fun to write that one.
That was a dark one.
It's a very subtle kind of meaning behind it, but it's supposed to be about like how, you know, guilt can kind of mess with somebody's mind. And there's an adventurer, Thomas, who is particularly haunted by something that happened to him in his past, and he finds this monastery in the wilderness. And the antagonist is a gentleman, or is basically a priest by the name of Lucre Moremi. And basically, it's how guilt and anxiety can actually distort memories and play with one's conscience and kind of almost turn things, you know, can turn a memory sour. And the funny thing is, the antagonist's name, Lucre Moremi, is actually an anagram for cruel memory. Yeah, so I so one of my friends actually was able to get it. I said, oh, you know, the antagonist's name is you know, I said like, oh, it's an anagram, and he's like, oh yeah, cruel memory, right? And I was like, yeah, that's it.
Oh,
So
wow. That's
one,
great.
two, yeah. So a little like little Easter egg thrown in there.
I think it's easier to write dark as opposed to happy, go lucky, frou frou. You know, I mean, some people are different, but I think you can get deep down in those, you know, dark emotions and you might be surprised what comes out, but I think it is
Exactly.
easier to write. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to explore because there's always that tension there. And I always like throwing a bit of suspense and mystery. And those darker stories play very well to that. It's always something I like to infuse a bit into my writing, is to kind of have a little bit of suspense. And it's just a lot more fun. A lot of people do it sometimes with happier stories, you know, what's going to happen. But it's a lot more fun, or I feel it's a lot more fun when it's a little bit of a darker kind of narrative going on. It makes it like, you know, you're kind of on the edge of your seat, like, oh my God, what's going to possibly happen now?
Absolutely. I agree. I agree. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the writing dark versus writing lighter material, but in all your material, you have kind of this lyrical quality, and it kind of brings a unique depth to the tales. How do you think your prose style enhances the storytelling and the themes within Tales of Astera? Does that make sense? Yeah.
No, oh, definitely. And thank you. I mean, thank you for that compliment. So it's funny because like I wanted to have a little bit of that charisma just because Penny is such a charismatic type of fellow. And I wanted to have kind of a little bit of that lyrical quality prose. I like to say like a little bit of my background. Like, so I play guitar on the side. I love music. So I like to believe, probably not, but I like to believe some of that had some bearing into throwing a little bit of that charismatic lyrical quality in there. And I think it lends itself well to some of the tales because some of the tales in particular, like Julia's Great Adventure, which is more of a whimsical, middle grade fantasy fiction tale, and Four for Pilicello, which is about four friends traveling through a forest on a way to a party trying to figure out what type of gift to get their friend. is supposed to be a little bit more whimsical, a little bit more on that kind of lyrical type of prose. And I feel like it fit pretty well to do that. And it's always something I like to kind of instill in there. And I think I got a lot of that inspiration actually from, like, I remember, like, and one thing in particular is reading some of the stuff in The Hobbit, or even reading some of the old classics, where there's just a lot of that kind of prose, where that lyrical quality. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my teachers in high school, Mr. Campion, we always used to do a lot of poetry reading. So I think that had a profound effect on me for the better, which I can't be thankful enough for that.
Yeah, yeah. This is no ordinary book of short stories. And I'm saying this because you've got illustrations and all these other aspects to it. There's a glossary of your world, of course. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, I'm interested in the illustrations. What was it like working with your illustrator and kind of bring those stories to life?
It was probably my favorite part because, it's funny and it's such a great question, Sherry, because it's something I always wanted to have in there. I wanted to have those illustrations, but I'm like the Picasso of stick figures. I can't draw for my life. I wanted to have that. So being able to work with Alejandro Colucci, who was my illustrator, was just what a wonderful experience. So I found him on Readsy, and it was just so great because he's worked with Easton Press. He's done some of the stuff for Assassin's Creed, for the Witcher series. Mm. So he's done some really big time illustrations. So I was so happy to have him illustrate a lot of the stories and tales of Estera, and he did what a wonderful job. And it was just great being able to describe things to him. And then just seeing him with just, me providing just a few sketches and just a couple of descriptions, what he produced was just absolutely gorgeous. Like, I couldn't even think of it so well in my mind, what he produced. It was just so awesome. So he did the cover and then 14 interior. 4 of them were color and then 10 of them are black and white.
Oh, wow.
Like, one of my favorites, I really, really like the one for The Secret of Norman's Point, which is actually like a pirate kind of tale. So it's kind of like a treasure-esque type of treasure hunt type of tale. And the illustration he does, which is a color, like panoramic kind of illustration, is just absolutely gorgeous and really just highlights all of the elements that are kind of coming together towards the end of the story. A lot of fun, and what a pleasure it was to work with Alejandro. He's just a total master of his craft.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like such an amazing experience. I can't imagine telling someone, okay, here's what I have. And then they come back with this, like, masterpiece. It's awe-inspiring,
Yeah, it was definitely my favorite part of the process. I worked with him about 2.5 months throughout all of those illustrations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty fast, too. Maybe not.
He did an unbelievable job. I couldn't believe it because the depth and the detail that he goes into with some of the illustrations is just incredible. Because, like, even for the story, like A History of the Dwarves, the illustration he does for that particular tale is basically a dwarven, king basically standing victorious in front of his army. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the detail of the soldiers in the background can take, I was so impressed to see all of that work that he put in to it. I'm like, my God, I would think that would just that illustration alone would take a few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the feel I get for your whole project is like, you can tell there was a lot of work that went into this, and obviously you're passionate about it, so I mean that shows, the readers can feel that, I believe. So, wow. I mean, kudos.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. Like I know you even mentioned the glossary. So like I have like which I always update here and there. So I have the stories and the other workings that I do with Estera. And then I have this other document, and it's basically a compendium. Mm-hmm. And I basically put in all of the faunae, florae, magic system, the currencies and stuff. And I update that sometimes I change certain things. I'll describe locations and things along those lines. And a bit of that is what ended up coming into this the glossary here. That's kind of where the glossary is from, is basically me taking things from the compendium that I created for Astera, putting it in there. So for reference points for the reader, not necessary for them to enjoy the tales, but if they want that additional information,
right,
they can have it, which I wanted to have, because I think it's always cool to have that little extra chunk of information if you so desire to read it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that's just really a big part of the fantasy, you know, genre, with the maps and, you know, the world map and all the, yeah. It's a whole package. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what is this also in the back? You have an appendix of magic. What is that about?
Sure. Yeah. So the appendix of magic, I wanted to have a magic system that could almost feel believable and real. So I got a lot of, I always love like kind of reading academic stuff. And when I was a kid, science was one of my favorite subjects in school. History and science were two of my favorites. And they kind of had a profound influence on the creating and molding of Astera. Now, science in particular, when it comes to the magic system, I basically took a little bit of the, I guess it's a blend of a couple of different things, where a little bit of like the law of thermodynamics and a very basic understanding. I have a very basic understanding of it, but mm-hmm. I took a little bit of, you know, the principle of, you know, conservation of energy and basically applied it to this magic system here, which is basically like, you know, energy can never, you can either be created nor destroyed. And basically, you know, that all matter basically contains life. So I broke down the magic system in Astera into four principles. Basically the one that all matter contains life energy, which is kind of does translate to our real world, is that all, you know, all matter is made up of energy. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of breaks off a little bit by basically, you know, breaking down energy into essential and supplemental, like supplemental being physical and essential being more of the spiritual kind of the actual like ethos of, you know, a species. And that's what's used for spell casting. And then it's kind of further broken down into how a mage has to concentrate in order to cast a spell and how the effects of magic are and how to make them less taxing. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last one has to do with staves and wands and how they are. They're good to have and use for spell casting, but they're not necessary. And it kind of helped me give a little bit more of a understanding, because I wanted to try to create it as real as I possibly could. And there were a couple of other interesting books, and I'll have to, there's this one by Alexander Rube. It was a collection of alchemy and mysticism from like the Middle Ages.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on Gnosticism. And I found it very influential, just kind of like how like the fifth, you know, yeah, alchemists were trying to find the fifth element and stuff like that, and how they view like the essence of certain objects. So I instilled a little bit of that alchemy, mysticism, and a little bit of science backing into the magic system and mishmashed it all together, kind of.
Yeah. See what I mean, listeners, by more than just a book of short stories? There's so much that it just brought it to another level, I think. And it sounds like you've had a lot of fun with it as well.
Yeah, I love it. The thing that's great about it, Cherry, is a lot of the things that I like put in the book are things that like I was never particularly like great at doing, but like building Astera has helped me explore it. And like, for instance, like languages is something I was never strong at learning. And I, oh my God, the amount of languages I took throughout my academic career, but I don't remember any of them, is staggering, but I love it. I love it, even though I'm not that great at it. But like when I was constructing the old Dwarvish language, I drew upon some of that love for languages, and I based it upon Old English, Latin, and a little bit of Old Icelandic. Mm-hmm. And it was something I was able to explore while I was building the world of Astera. It was really, really fun being able to do that and get some books and do a little bit of research on that and use that to create something new and different, even with the currencies, with doing a little bit of research on currency trading in order to kind of make those imaginary currencies of Astera feel a little bit more real.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. I like doing it. You know, the cool thing is like I'm exploring Astera just as much as all the other, you know, like everybody else is when they pick up the book, because like I'm always discovering something new that I want to put in. So it's always really, really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious, what kind of feedback have you received from your readers?
Yeah, so you know, it's funny. Some of my friends, because I never used to really share too much like about stuff. Like I used to just say like, you know, like I like to do some writing on the side. So like some of my friends, when they found out I was coming out with a book, they were like, oh, really cool. Like, you know, and they read it, they're like, oh my God, like I didn't know you were like, you had such the imagination to come up with all that stuff. And I always love hearing that because it's such a huge compliment. So a lot of people, you know, some of my friends and family have said that, which is great. And then I had some friends that, you know, resonate particularly with one particular story, which is great. And I do love that. And that's the thing I like about the Tales of Estera is I feel like the stories are, you know, they're diverse in their kind of purpose. And you know, a particular tale might resonate more with one person than it does with another. But the good thing is that I kind of say there's a tale there for everybody. And so far, I've received some pretty good feedback from readers, which I absolutely love.
Outstanding. Yeah. And it keeps you going too.
Yeah, exactly. It does. It keeps me wanting to keep on writing and keep on, you know, creating the world of Estera, building upon the compendium and doing more stories there, which I absolutely love.
Okay. So you said you're working on on a novel right now. Does this have to do with Astera or is this a totally different project?
Yeah, so it has to do with Estera. It actually takes place in the realm of Aurora, which is actually the realm that Penny Rogers says he's going to potentially be traveling to at the end of the Tales of Estera. So this is a young adult fantasy fiction novel. It takes place in Aurora. You know, I'm on the kind of the editing stage right now. I'm going to have the same illustrator, Alejandro Colucci, doing the illustrations, and
Nice.
which I'm super excited for. I have the same company, Luminary Press, helping me with the editing and the formation of the book, which I'm also excited with. And this one is, yeah, it's a full-blown novel, and it's going to be called To Sow a Fallow. And it was actually my first project. So this was my first one in Estera, and this was like the flesh and blood. This was basically the foundation of Estera and building it from the world up. And I'm super excited, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm hopefully trying to get it done by the end of this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you envision the whole series of books around the
Yeah.
different worlds in Estera? Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a couple, like, I have this one book that, well, it's about a third of the way done through writing that I was doing. I usually like to write sometimes in third person omniscient. So I like to have that narration quality to it. And this other one, not To Sow a Fallow, that one's third person omniscient, but this other one that I kind of shelved, not done yet. It takes place in Astera. It's more of a following one person, and it's from third person limited, and you see everything in the world through this person's eyes, and you know, while he's trying to complete this quest that he's on. But I do want to have like all different types of stories, novels, and also short stories and follow up to the Tales of Astera, kind of highlighting different aspects of the world and you know, different time periods. There's still a lot I would love to introduce readers to.
Yeah. Oh, so you're just getting started.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just getting started, and I've got some ideas for the sequel to this as far as compiling new short stories, and I've kind of already dabbled on a few of those. So that's something I definitely want to do as well because I love this kind of anthology kind of short story collection. 3 4 years ago, I would have never thought about doing this, and then all of a sudden, I was like, you know what? Let me, you know, do it like that, and I love it actually.
Yeah. You've had an amazing debut journey. Reflecting on that, do you have any advice that you would share with aspiring authors who kind of dream of crafting their own fantastical or any other kind of world?
Yeah, of course. You know, I think the best, and it's going to sound a little cliche at first, but it's just, you know, do a little bit every day, one step at a time, cherish the small victories. I think that's the most important thing. And don't ever get discouraged. And I think the one thing too is because at times, especially when I was younger, I used to get discouraged and I used to stop writing. What I tell people, and you know, I even tell myself, is try not to go into writing with any preconceived notion of what to expect. Right? Just go out there and just put some words on the page, and you'll be pleasantly surprised sometimes what you end up creating. You know, funny enough, Sherry, and this is a great question. One of the tales in Tales of Estera, I created it through a writing exercise where basically I joined a group with a friend. I forget who the author was. And they said, you know, we're going to just do a writing exercise. You know, don't erase anything, just write and see what ends up coming out. And that story that I ended up writing in like 10 minutes, just with a pen and a pad, without, you know, the direction was basically no preconceived notion, just write, ended up becoming the Secret of Norman's Point. So sometimes it's best to just, you know, just don't stress yourself out. Just sit down, write when you can. No preconceived notion, no thing saying I got to write 1,000 words today, or oh, I got to do this, or oh, I have to accomplish this. Just go in there and write what comes to mind. And sometimes you'll be pleasantly surprised what ends up, you know, coming out and what you end up discovering. And that's the other thing I wanted to kind of instill upon, you know, readers too, when they're reading this, that everybody has a tale to tell. You know, everybody has a story that, you know, is worth telling and worth exploring. And, you know, don't be discouraged, you know, just a little bit at a time and just cherish those small victories. That's the most important thing. Mm.
Yeah, that's good advice, because I know taking those small victories also kind of spurs you on to continue going. And so, you know, it's not like, I think you mentioned the writing goals and 1,000 words and stuff. And sometimes I feel like those can backfire because they put pressure on you, and that kind of stifles your creativity because you're focused on the word count instead of what the words are saying, you know.
That's so true. That's a really good point, Sherry. You're right. You're focused on the quantity, not the quality. And you're right. It puts some pressure, and it almost makes the writing a chore. It's like, okay, well, like, I got a quota, basically. I have to reach 1,000 words. Because I used to try to do that. I used to try to set myself to a limit, right? Like, oh, you know, I got to do at least, or even like a time limit. I have to do at least 2 hours of writing today. Mm. Then, you know, the thing is, you almost feel like this external pressure that's getting put on you, and then it just becomes less enjoyable, and you infuse a little bit less of your true self into your writing when you do that, because you put your back up against the wall. So yeah, sometimes it's better, this is just like my opinion, is just to kind of just remove, I guess sometimes remove some of those quotas around, and then just kind of just try to be a little bit less stress and a little bit more free. And sometimes it flows a little bit more naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Michael, is there anything else you wanted to add today?
I just wanted to say thank you again, Sherry, to you and to Reader Views. I this has been, for, you know, just everything. I think it's so refreshing. It really is. It's very refreshing to kind of have an organization that, you know, gives so much support to indie and self-published authors. So it's been an absolute joy. It's been a wonderful time talking to you. And yeah, I love discussing my stories with you, and I look forward to doing it again for the next one, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what you're up to next. So thank you so much for joining me today and sharing a little bit about you and your world of Astera.
Thank you again. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me today for my interview with Michael Rizzo, author of Tales of Astera. You can learn more about Michael and his work at talesofastera.com. And be sure to check out our other interviews at InsideScoopLive.com.